All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning gathering. It's wonderful to see you all coming into the room for the gathering. We're going to start the gathering the way that we usually do. It's giving each of us an opportunity to say hi to one another, really embrace one another with our hearts by typing on the board. And I am going to play the song that I traditionally play during our greeting of one another, and that is Awakening. We Are Awakening by Deborah Pramell and Mitten. So everyone, please enjoy greeting one another.
Calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see you here for our weekly Sunday morning gathering. I'm going to start this morning by just sharing a little bit about Awakening Together's purpose. And this morning I'm going to start by sharing from a page on our website called Paths of Awakening. This page can be found under the About Us link on our menu. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers, dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. In our study of scripture and masters, we contemplate that which is the same and respect that which appears different. Some of the spiritual works and masters that may be studied by our ministers, members, and friends include, but are not limited to, the Bhagavad Gita, Tao Te Ching, Gautama Buddha, Jesus, the New Testament and Christian mystics, Rumi and other Sufi masters, Kabbalah, A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, Peace Pilgrim, Jiddu Krishnamurti, H.W.L. Punja, also known as Papaji, Adyashanti, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and more. Although teachers in scripture are helpful as we awaken to universal truth, absolute clarity always arises within one's self. For that reason, we encourage the unique expression of wisdom as it comes through our ministers, members, and friends. Everyone has the opportunity to express wisdom in our online sanctuary. Members have the opportunity to express wisdom through member blogs on the Awakening Together website. We celebrate each person's expression of wisdom, just as we honor wisdom expressed through the renowned masters and scriptures. There is only one source of universal wisdom. Whenever anyone writes, speaks, or acts from universal wisdom, that one abides as our true self. And now I'm going to read our fourth core value. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. Now what I would like to do is share a few announcements. The first announcement is that tonight is our monthly online satsang with a guest teacher. And tonight the guest teacher is John Mark Stroud. For those of you who do not know him, John Mark experienced a shift into what is often called enlightenment after he spent a month at the Oneness University in India. He was a student of A Course in Miracles prior to going to the Oneness University and prior to this shift. And he returned to A Course in Miracles after his awakening, but he describes his post-awakening experience with the Course in this way. He says, I continued my work with A Course in Miracles, but instead of study, it served to further illuminate the deepest truths of what I had so recently experienced. He also values A Course of Love, The Way of Mastery, and a work called I Am the Word. He feels that both movies and meditation are valuable tools for awakening. So tonight, please join us here in the sanctuary at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, as we interview John Mark Stroud and get to know him a little better. Also, we have a course coming up that will be taught online by Awakening Together, and the course is Introduction to Jesus of the New Testament. For centuries, as you all know, Christian mystics have awakened to truth by contemplating the teachings of Jesus as they are written in the New Testament. It seems that they saw something completely different in Jesus' teachings than most of our traditional Christian churches have seen. And so, you know, the question is, why were they able to see something different in the teachings? And I think the answer is because they contemplated with inner wisdom rather than reading with the intellect and learning from outside teachings. What we're going to do in this course, this four-week course where we read the New Testament, is we are going to contemplate Scripture in the way the mystics have so that we can realize inner wisdom and inner clarity from within ourselves. And the course workbook that is written to go along with the course helps you to do this. So basically, in the Introduction to Jesus of the New Testament course, you will first of all become familiar with the life of Jesus as it's told in the New Testament. Many people say they've never actually read the New Testament for themselves, and so that it alone can be kind of fun. But most importantly, you're going to let inner discernment bring forth clarity from within yourself as you contemplate directly from the New Testament. Now, this course is available at two different times, so you can pick the time that's most convenient for you. There's a course that will be on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and the facilitator of that course will be Jay McCormick. Also, there will be a course on Wednesday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, and I will be the facilitator of that course. Now, because we don't want you learning from the outside, we want you learning from within. We The homework actually starts a week before the class starts, and you will have the Awakening Together course workbook to help you contemplate, but you will be reading and contemplating the New Testament for a week on your own, and then coming to class, where everyone will share from their clarity, as well as the facilitator sharing from clarity. So homework for this class actually begins if it's Tuesday night on September 23rd, if it's Wednesday morning on September 24th. That means that you must register by September 22nd, which is this coming Tuesday. And then the Tuesday evening class with Jay begins on September 29th, and the Wednesday morning class with Regina begins on September 30th. It's a 4-week class. The cost is $80. It will be in Pal Talk, so it's really helpful if you understand how to use Pal Talk. And you can register by going to our website, the Awakening Together website, and just looking underneath the classes menu for Introduction to Jesus of the New Testament. Now, I just noticed Lynn's question is tonight's satsang with John Mark Stroud live, and yes, it is. It absolutely is. I think most of them are meant to be live. The last few are recorded. Merely because of time difference or because of convenience of having Ram Dass here in the States for a temporary period of time. But it is my intention to usually have them live. So tonight with John Mark Stroud, it will be live, and you will be able to ask him questions if you want to. You'll be able to interact with him through Pal Talk. My last announcement again is about the fall retreat coming up in Colorado Springs. I know you all are really familiar with this announcement because we announce it every week. But I just wanted to share with you a little bit about how we came to have this particular fall retreat, why it's designed the way it is. In December last year, 2014, the trustees conducted a survey of Awakening Together members who had attended either the Awakening Together retreat in the fall of 2014 or the Choose Again retreat in May of 2014, or who donate to Awakening Together. And the purpose of the survey was to determine what these members wanted from a retreat, these fairly active members. Either they come to retreats or they donate. About 40% of the people who the survey was sent to responded. It is possible that some didn't notice the retreat survey in their email. Sometimes people say, I didn't even see it. But 40% did respond. And those who did respond to the survey said what they were most interested in a spiritual retreat is, there were three things they were most interested in. One is simply being in the presence of one who is clear. That was the most requested thing. Two, they wanted spiritual clarity from a speaker's direct experience instead of from intellectual knowledge. And three, they wanted unstructured, quiet time for silence, walking, and being alone, which, of course, many people don't get in their daily lives. So it makes sense that they would want that as a spiritual retreat. We also asked them which teachers they would like to see speaking at the retreat. And the three teachers that were requested in order were Regina Dawn Akers, Jan Frazier, and then Bentinho Massaro and Nook Sanchez were tied for third, but we decided on Bentinho because he seemed to be a better fit for the other three things that people were asking for. Nook, of course, as you know, teaches A Course in Miracles, and believe it or not, on the survey, one of the options was, would you like to get more clarity on A Course in Miracles at the retreat? And that was one of the lowest things that were chosen by the respondents. So this is why Bentinho was invited over Nook. So that's exactly the retreat we are providing. As you guys know, we have Jan Frazier. She will be at the retreat. It will be just her from Friday afternoon, October 30th, through Sunday lunchtime, November 1. And then Regina Dawn Akers will begin Sunday evening, November 1, and run through lunchtime on Friday, November 6th. And then Bentinho Massaro will begin on Friday evening, November 6th, and run through noon lunchtime on Sunday, November 8th. So we have provided exactly the retreat that the respondents asked for. We also are providing what we hope to be very, very good prices for the retreat. And in fact, some people who have noticed the difference between our prices and the prices of other retreats have been pretty amazed. In fact, they've asked, have I missed something? Like, is there something not included that I didn't notice? Like, do I have to pay for my room separately or something like that? And the answer is no, you didn't miss a thing. Everything is included in the price. For the two weekend retreats, the retreat with Jan Frazier and the retreat with Bettino Massaro, if you want a private room, it's $550 per person. And again, that includes the retreat, the meals, and the room. There is nothing left out. It includes all of your meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner during the time of the retreat. If you're willing to share a room, the price is only $395 for everything. Of course, if you happen to live nearby and you want to commute, the price is only $295. And for the weekends, we also have a Saturday-only rate, which is $150 in a Glen. That does include the lunch and dinner. For the Regina retreat, which is a little longer, so the prices are a little more, because these two retreats were two nights. The Regina retreat is five nights. So the Regina retreat, $750 per person if you want a single room. That includes 15 meals, your room and the retreat. The shared rate is $625 per person for the week, and there is still a commuter rate for those who live nearby. That is $425 per person. That is lunch and dinner each day plus the retreat. So if you're interested in registering for this retreat, you can register up until October 14th, but I do want to say very clearly that we can't take registrations after October 14th. And that is because of our contract with the retreat center. They need to know the final numbers and the types of meals, because there are different types of meals. You can order a meal with meat, a vegetarian meal, or a gluten-free meal. They need to do all of that so they can do their shopping, menu planning, and get ready for us. And the reason I want to say that very clearly is one thing we often experience is a lot of people wanting to register in those last few days just prior to the retreat. It's a sudden impulse, I want to go. And that's really difficult to manage because of our contracts with the retreat center. So please be aware that you can register up until October 14th, but we have to give final numbers to the retreat center the following day. And after that, you will not be able to register. If you have any questions, just go to the Awakening Together website. Underneath the About menu, click on Contact, and your questions will come directly to me. By the way, I thought I would mention on that survey that we did, 12.5% of respondents wanted John Mark Stroud at the retreat, which wasn't anywhere near the top three requested. However, he will be here tonight. So, and I'll look into getting the others who were also requested here for satsangs as well. But John Mark Stroud, who was requested on the survey, will be here tonight in the sanctuary again at 8 p.m. With all of that said, I'd like to start the devotional portion of our gathering, which, of course, is the real reason why we're all here. And as usual, we're going to start it with some music. Today, I'm going to play a song by John Lennon. And the name of this song is God. Some of you may be familiar with this song, but if you aren't, let me just share some of the lyrics. I won't share all of them, but let me share some of the lyrics with you so you can listen for them and hear them in the tune. This is a very interesting song. John Lennon writes, God is a concept by which we measure our pain. I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in I Ching. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in tarot. I don't believe in Hitler. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Kennedy. I don't believe in Buddha. And in fact, at some point in the lyrics, he even says, I don't believe in the Beatles. He goes on to say, the dream is over. What can I say? The dream is over yesterday. I was the dream weaver, but now I'm reborn. I get a question, is John Mark Stroud JM? And the answer is no. JM is John Mark Hammer. So this is a completely different John Mark. Thanks for asking that question, Dolores. So tonight is John Mark Stroud, which is a completely different John Mark. All right, so let me play this song by John Lennon, and John Lennon will get us going in the devotional part of our service this morning.
concept by which we measure our pain.
Incredible song. Why don't we close our eyes, or if you like to keep your eyes open, you can. But let's have a moment of silence, and that will lead me into prayer. In the song we just listened to, John spoke of the dream being over. And he also said that he realized he had been the dream weaver. Many of us desire awakening, which means we desire to see beyond the dream, or said in John's words, we want the dream to be over for us. Sometimes we wonder why that hasn't happened. But when we do study great masters, whether we're studying Rumi, A Course in Miracles, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, Inner Ramana, or many others, Robert Adams, many others, there's one thing that they're all very, very consistent on teaching us, and that is that in order to awaken, the obstacle or obstacles to awakening must be removed. That we need to see with honesty how we are the dream weaver. We need to see with honesty how we keep the dream alive. And then, as Jesus said in the New Testament, we need to replace those habits with new habits. We need to cease to be the dream weaver. And so today, as we move forward with this weekly gathering, with the reading and the teaching that's to come, I pray that we each look with love and honesty to see how we are still the dream weaver, so that we can make new commitments to let go of old habits that are no longer helpful. Amen. All right, and so with that said, it is time for us to go into our reading. Today, Jane Pauley Bass is here, and she's going to read from Buddha's discourse on, it's called, The Better Way to Live Alone. And even if you live with a lot of people, you'll find this discourse applies to you. I don't think he meant physically alone. Jane, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. As Regina said, this is a writing that is the Buddha speaking to the bhikkhus. The historical Buddha, Prince Siddhartha, abandoned a life of pleasure and status and lived on alms as part of his lifestyle. Those of his more serious students abandoned their lives as householders and came to study full-time under his supervision, also adopted his lifestyle. Bhikkhu is the Sanskrit word for beggar. This is the name given by the Buddha to his ordained disciples. So now the discourse on knowing the better way to live alone. I heard these words of the Buddha one time when the Lord was saying at the monastery in the Jetta Grove, in the town of Shravasti. He called all the monks to him and instructed them, Bhikkhus? And the bhikkhus replied, We are here, the Blessed One taught. I will teach you what is meant by knowing the better way to live alone. I will begin with an outline of the teaching, and then I will give a detailed explanation. Bhikkhus, please listen carefully. And they responded, Blessed One, we are listening. So the Buddha taught, Do not pursue the past. Do not lose yourself in the future. The past no longer is. The future has not yet come. Looking deeply at life as it is, in the very here and now, The practitioner dwells in stability and freedom. We must be diligent today. To wait till tomorrow is too late. Death comes unexpectedly. How can we bargain with it? The sage calls a person who knows how to dwell in mindfulness night and day, the one who knows the better way to live alone. And that is the outline for his talk. So now he's going to go into the detail. And he says, Bickus, what do we mean? Oh, I've got a bing bong on my computer. Guess it was nothing. Bickus, what do we mean by pursuing the past? When someone considers the way his body was in the past, the way his feelings were in the past, the way his perceptions were in the past, the way his mental formations were in the past, the way his consciousness was in the past. When he considers these things, and his mind is burdened by and attached to these things which belong to the past, then that person is pursuing the past. Bickus, what is meant by not pursuing the past? When someone considers the way his body was in the past, the way his feelings were in the past, the way his perceptions were in the past, the way his mental formations were in the past, the way his consciousness was in the past, when he considers these things, but his mind is neither enslaved by nor attached to these things which belong to the past, then that person is not pursuing the past. Bickus, what is meant by losing yourself in the future? When someone considers the way his body will be in the future, the way his feelings will be in the future, the way his perceptions will be in the future, the way his mental formations will be in the future, the way his consciousness will be in the future. When he considers these things and his mind is burdened by and daydreaming about these things which belong to the future, then that person is losing himself in the future. Bickus, what is meant by not losing yourself in the future? When someone considers the way his body will be in the future, the way his feelings will be in the future, the way his perceptions will be in the future, the way his mental formations will be in the future, the way his consciousness will be in the future, when he considers these things, but his mind is not burdened by or daydreaming about these things which belong to the future, then he is not losing himself in the future. Bickus, what is meant by being swept away by the present? When someone does not study or learn anything about the awakened one, or the teachings of love and understanding, or the community that lives in harmony and awareness, when that person knows nothing about the noble teachers and their teachings, and does not practice these teachings, and thinks, this body is myself, I am this body, these feelings are myself, I am these feelings, this perception is myself, I am this perception, this mental formation is myself, I am this mental formation, this consciousness is myself, I am this consciousness, then that person is being swept away by the present. Bickus, what is meant by not being swept away by the present? When someone studies and learns about the awakened one, the teachings of love and understanding, the community that lives in harmony and awareness, when that person knows about noble teachers and their teachings, practices these teachings and does not think, this body is myself, I am this body, these feelings are myself, I am these feelings, this perception is myself, I am this perception, this mental formation is myself, I am this mental formation, this consciousness is myself, I am this consciousness, then that person is not being swept away by the present. Because I have presented the outline and the detailed explanation of knowing the better way to live alone. Thus the Buddha taught, and the bhikkhus were delighted to put his teachings into practice. And this teaching comes from www.buddhistedu.org. Thank you. Releasing the mic.
Thank you very much, Jane. I appreciate that. Your voice was so nice and so clear. Pal Talk even cooperated today, and we were able to hear you consistently. So thank you very much. I enjoyed that very much. Some of you may know that I went to China with Jasmine earlier in the summer. It was really her graduation gift from high school. And of course, China is a place where there are a lot of Buddhist temples. So one of the things that we did while we were there was we toured Buddhist temples. we also toured Taoist temples. And one thing that was really interesting, both in the Buddhist temples and the Taoist temples, but more in the Buddhist temples, at least very interesting to me, because I had kind of forgotten this. I knew this once upon a time, but it had slipped into the back of my mind. One of the things that was really interesting to me was how people worshipped Buddha. They worshipped Buddha in the same way, of course, that the Christians in America worship Jesus. And in one particular temple that we went into, there were these three really lovely, very, very large, at least a story tall, maybe more like two stories tall, very, very large, beautiful carved Buddhas. And our guide told us that one was the Buddha of the past, one was the Buddha of the present, and one was the Buddha of the future. And that what the people do, and mostly young people, because the older people were all, of course, indoctrinated by Mao Zedong, so most of them are not so religious now. But the younger people are coming up more religious. So he said what the young people do is they come here to the temple, and if there's something in the past that is really burdening them, they pray to Buddha about that thing. And if there's something in the present that's a real problem for them, they pray to Buddha and ask Buddha to fix that. And if there's something in the future they really want, like they want to get married or they want to, have a career, they pray to Buddha and ask Buddha to bless them with those things. And although I really appreciated the loveliness of the devotion, I always appreciate devotion. I can't help that. That's just something that's natural to me. I love devotion. I couldn't help but notice that Buddha's teachings were completely disregarded. And it causes me to ask, what is really most important? Is putting even a great, great teacher like Jesus and Buddha, we cannot argue that these were great teachers. That's why they've lasted throughout time. I'm sure there were many other teachers who have been completely forgotten. But, Buddha and Jesus have lasted thousands of years. So do we put these great teachers on a pedestal and we worship them and yet continue with our own ego thinking, our own regrets about the past, believing them, our own dreams or worries about the future, believing them, even our own concerns about what's happening right now in our life, and then beg them to somehow change things in order to make our life the way we want it? Is that what they asked us to do? When I look at the teachers, like Jesus and Buddha and even some more recent ones like Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta Maharaj, I don't find any of them asking us to do that. And in fact, I find all of them asking us to do exactly what Buddha asks us to do in this discourse called The Better Way to Live Alone. And, you know, those three Buddhas, that Buddha of the past, that Buddha of the present, that Buddha of the future, to me, when I looked at them, the Buddha of the past represented pursuing the past, which Buddha asks us not to do. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. That Buddha of the present, just the way that it was being prayed to, represented being lost in the present or swept away by the present. And that Buddha of the future represented being lost in the future. So in other words, Buddhism, Buddha, the image of Buddha or the idea of Buddha, was being used in order to practice exactly in the opposite way of which he asked us to practice. And one reason I started this morning by going over our paths of awakening and going over our core value number 4 is because we do embrace all of these different paths, but we don't want to become lost in worship of a path, of a scripture, of a teacher. In fact, listen to our core value number 4 again. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine, and I would also say spiritual teacher, as truth. So if we live this 4th core value, we are doing exactly what Buddha has asked us to do in knowing the better way to live alone, as well as exactly what all of the other teachers have asked us to do. In fact, you know, most of us are very familiar with A Course in Miracles, so we're very familiar with A Course in Miracles teaching that we not get lost in the past, or as Buddha worded it, not pursue the past. In fact, if we go to the Course in Miracles workbook, Lesson 8 is, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts, right? And it says, this idea is, of course, the reason why you see only the past. And then it says, no one really sees anything. He sees only his thoughts projected outward, right? So here we have A Course in Miracles teaching the exact same thing that Buddha taught, about not pursuing the past. And we also know that daydreaming about the future and being lost in the future is not being present to the now. And in fact, even Eckhart Tolle, I mean, you know, we know from so many teachers, they really ask us to be very, very present to the now, right? But one thing I found very interesting about Buddha's discourse was he talks about the difference between being present to the now and being what he calls swept away by the present. Swept away by the present. That's the same as being lost in the past or lost in the future. Let me share again what Buddha said about being swept away in the present. He said, when someone does not study or learn anything about the awakened one, or the teachings of love and understanding, or the community that lives in harmony and awareness, when that person knows nothing about the noble teachers and their teachings, and does not practice these teachings, and of course that person also thinks, this body is myself, I am this body. These feelings are myself, I am these feelings. He says this perception is myself, but I would say also just my perceptions are true, right? And it continues from there. When a person thinks in that way, when a person is not aware of truth teachings and they believe I am this body, they believe their feelings are a truth about them. They believe their perceptions, the way they think, the way they see are truth. Then that person is swept away by the present. And you know, I think this is what John Lennon was singing about when he sang this long, long list You know, I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in I Ching. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in tarot. I don't believe in Hitler. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Kennedy. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in mantra. Even I don't believe in the Beatles. What he was saying is, I'm no longer swept away by the present. You know, in America, we have a saying, seeing is believing. But of course, that's talking about our perceptions. And what Buddha and John Lennon are telling us is that is not true. Seeing, well, it may be believing, but it is not truth. Maybe that's the mistake we make. The saying is seeing is believing, and that's probably true. But we think it means seeing is truth. Well, what I see, I know it's true because I saw it. And that's not true. In fact, if you ever take the MPP program, and I know many people here are in the MPP program or I've already finished it. MPP is the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program. The very, very first class that you take is called True Discernment. And in True Discernment, one portion of that class is teaching what an obstacle believing is to true seeing. Believing our perceptions. Believing I am this body. Believing, for example, that if I feel guilty, it means I am guilty. If I feel fear, it means there is something to fear. Believing my feelings. All of this believing that is so common to the human condition. In fact, it's accepted as common sense. All of this believing is the obstacle. All of this believing is what leads us to be what John called the dream weaver. I'm sure you all, if you've listened to me teach at all, you've seen me teach this, which I'll type in the room as I speak it. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. Experience. What I experience, I think. This is the loop of illusion. This is how we are dream weavers. This is how we are dream weavers. So a thought shows up in the mind. We believe that thought. We then perceive it. For example, one example I like to use is, you know, a thought rises up in the mind, I'm bad. You know, maybe the thought first arose, maybe, when I was reaching for some shiny thing on the coffee table when I was two, and my mom slapped my hand, and maybe she even said, no, that's bad, bad girl. You know, maybe she even said that, I don't know. But then I believed it. And I started thinking, oh, I'm bad. Oh, I'm bad. And then I perceive it, right? I go to school, I go to kindergarten. This is a true story for me. The teacher is passing out snack just before our little nap on our little rugs. She gives us all a little carton of milk and she gives us all a graham cracker. And I look around and I see the other kids breaking the graham crackers, you know, on the line so they have these nice little rectangles. And I try to do the same thing and I can't. My graham crackers break right in the middle. And now I'm perceiving, oh, I'm unworthy. Because I can't break my graham crackers like the other kids can. And then because I'm perceiving that I'm unworthy, I start to really experience it. You know, we lay down to nap and all the other kids are happy and falling asleep. And I'm in this cloud of unworthiness, feeling so much less than all of those other kids. So sick, I want to run home. I want to run home and cry to mama. And there was even another perception in kindergarten. I don't remember if it was before or after the graham cracker incident. But we were asked to color, and I took a brown crayon and just scribbled because I did not yet know how to draw, so just all of these circles. But for some reason, I was very proud of that. I really was. I was very proud of that. And I remember taking that home and handing that to my mother with all of this pride and expecting her to praise me. And my mother said, all she said was, what's this? But I perceived, you know what I perceived in her question, what's this? You aren't good enough, Regina. You didn't draw a thing. I can't even tell what it is. And my mother didn't say that. My mother said, what's this? But why did I perceive this additional message about how unworthy I was? Because of this dream-weaving loop. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. I was already, as a very young child, weaving a dream of the unworthy Regina. And I'll tell you, this dream carried on for a very, very long, long time. And every time that I perceived even more evidence of the fact that I was unworthy, and some of you who know me, you also know, I not only thought I was unworthy, I thought I was the most unworthy human on the planet. I literally believed that everyone else had something going on for them. They were good looking, or they had a talent, or they were smart, or they were rich, or something. They got to travel more, something. Everybody had something going on for them but me. I alone was the scum of the earth. And as I went through life continually having this reinforced for me through my own seeing, experiencing, and thinking, I was swept away by the present. That's what I was, what Buddha calls swept away by the present. What John would simply call believing and dream weaving. Every time I had those thoughts and believed them and had those perceptions and thought my perceptions were true, felt those feelings and believed my feelings, that feeling of unworthiness was a truth about me. I mean, after all, I'm feeling it, so it must be true, right? Every single time I did that, I was being swept away by the present. Listen again to what Buddha says. When someone does not study or learn anything about the awakened one, or the teachings of love and understanding, or the community that lives in harmony and awareness, when that person knows nothing about the noble teachers and their teachings and does not practice these teachings, and thinks, this body is myself, I am this body, these feelings are myself, I am these feelings, this perception is myself, I am this perception, including this perception that I'm unworthy, this perception that I'm guilty, this perception that I'm useless. This mental formation is myself. I am this mental formation. This consciousness is myself. I am this consciousness. Then that person is being swept away by the present. In other words, in addition to being lost in the past, which we all know about thanks to the teachings of A Course in Miracles, especially things like Workbook Lessons 7 and 8, in addition to being lost in the future, daydreaming about the future, which we all know the future does not exist, right? Bring ourselves back to the present when we catch ourselves doing that. In addition to that, we are lost in the present when we are believing our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions. Even our experiences, our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions, our experiences, when we are believing this that seems to be right here, right now, we're lost. Now, Buddha goes on to talk about how not to be lost in the present. He says, what is meant by not being swept away by the present? Well, this is kind of hopeful for all of us because he starts with, when someone studies and learns about the awakened one, the teachings of love and understanding, and the community that lives in harmony and awareness. Right? So we're doing that or we wouldn't even be here. So we've got that first step under our belt, that first step towards not being lost in the present, is that we are studying the teachings that teach us to see another way, to think another way, to make different choices. So yay, thank goodness, we're beginning to become free, or we wouldn't even be here. And then he continues, when that person knows about noble teachers and their teachings, practices these teachings, okay, right there is where maybe we need to pause a little bit. Again, in the prayer, I asked us to notice with honesty where we are still the dream weaver? Well, based on what I'm reading from Buddha's discourse, wherever we are not practicing the teachings, we are still being the dream weaver. I mean, it's one or the other always. There's no middle here. If I'm practicing the teachings in the present, I am not being the dream weaver. If I am not practicing the teachings in the present, I am being the dream weaver. And my guess is that probably all of us are still the dream weaver sometimes, and we're practicing the teachings sometimes. And so the question we can ask ourselves if we really do want to awaken is, can I become more alert? Can I become more aware to practicing the teachings in the present? You know, and we have a lot of different tools we've been given for practice. For example, if the feeling rises up that I am unworthy or that I am guilty, right? Instead of just believing that feeling, you know, which Buddha has very clearly said is being swept away by the present or lost in the present, instead of just believing that, can I do a spiritual practice instead, like rest the mind, accept and allow this feeling, trust that it is healing, rest, accept, and trust. Or practice self-inquiry. Who is it that sees this feeling? Or what is it that sees this feeling of guilt or unworthiness? You see, if I practice the teachings, Buddha says, I am not lost. Again, in the language of John Lennon, in that moment, I am not the dream weaver. But if I don't practice the teachings, if I go right on with the believing of the present experience, I'm lost, I'm dream weaving. So Buddha says, when that person knows, let's see, I'm looking at the wrong one here. When that person knows about noble teachers and their teachings, practices these teachings, and then Buddha goes on to say, and does not think, this body is myself, I am this body. You know, there's a very simple little thing that I do over and over and over during the day, which every one of us can do, which helps to break the habit of thinking I am this body. I just tell myself to watch the body, you know, like watching a movie. Observe the body. And somehow just in choosing to watch the body, watch what the body's doing here, watch what it's doing here. Somehow in doing that, I am not believing myself to be the body. I shift back into the observer. Which means when I'm watching the body in that way, shifting back into being the observer of the body, I am practicing and I am not lost in the present. I am not dream weaving when I'm watching, when I'm being the observer of the body. When the person knows about noble teachers and their teachings, practices these teachings and does not think, this body is myself, I am this body. The next one we've really talked about, these feelings are myself, I am these feelings, right? Instead, practice rest, accept, and trust, or self-inquiry, or something else. This perception is myself, I am this perception, or I would add, what I am perceiving is true, right? Instead of letting go, instead of thinking this perception is true, what I see is true, if I see it, it means it's true. Practice inquiry on what we perceive. Learn to rest the mind. This mental formation is myself, I am this mental formation. This consciousness is myself, I am this consciousness. And when he's referring to this consciousness is myself, I don't think he's referring to the awareness, which is what we do want to shift into seeing ourselves as. I think he means this depressed one, this optimistic one, right? Everybody has kind of a personality consciousness, the way that that personality is. If you think that's who you are, you're lost. But if you can just observe that, watch that, notice that, but at the same time notice that you are the awareness observing and watching, then you are not lost. He says if we can not believe all of those thoughts, then we are not being swept away by the present. I actually feel like I could continue to talk about this for another hour. But we're out of time, so what I'll do is just stop there and I'll play a song that so you all can contemplate what has been said, and then we'll get to hear a little bit from you. Again, what we're really contemplating here is when are we lost in the present, because we're believing our thoughts, believing our perceptions, believing our feelings, believing I am this body, mind, personality, and therefore being the dream weaver. And when are we practicing and therefore not being swept away by the present? And how can we maybe shift that to more practice and less believing? This is what we're contemplating. And the song that I am going to play while we contemplate this is, it's a song called Time Forgotten. It's just a musical song. It's from a compilation called Music That Will Make You Cry.
Thank you.
love that song. All right. I did forget to mention that the meditation time or the contemplation time is also a wonderful time to donate. Barb did put the link in the room, however, and you can see that link. So if you choose to donate, we always appreciate it. And now is the time when you all get to share based on the reading and the teaching today. And of course, now I'm really excited to sit back and listen to you. So whoever has something to share, will you please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. All right, Nancy, the mic is yours.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Regina, so much for yet another very clear teaching. Very, very timely, as always. I was in my contemplation this morning. I was actually just looking again at the thinking, seeing, believing loop. And what I appreciated in the reading today was that in both cases, the thoughts, you know, I'm this body or this perception or this consciousness, that thoughts were still arising in the mind. And it's all about then what, you know, am I going to follow them or am I going to observe them and let them go, but that it wasn't about somehow me thinking that the thoughts shouldn't be arising. I shouldn't think I am this consciousness. What is wrong with me? That's always very, very restful right there to know that it's not my job or my, in my ability to stop thoughts. And another thing I wanted to share, and I've shared it before, but I don't know if I've ever told you, that years ago, you know, had like all your CDs, the early CDs, and I would listen to them in the car, and these CDs were just one long track. They weren't separated into different tracks. And like right in the middle of one of the CDs was this prayer that you had spoken. And it caught my attention very so strongly that I sat in the car for a while and replayed the whole CD down to the middle so I could copy down what the prayer was. And then I figured out that I could put it in my computer and kind of gauge on the little marker on iTunes that I could find the minutes where it was, and then finish writing it down. It took a little while, but I was determined because I found it so helpful, that's why. And you may remember it, but it was an acknowledgement of what I am seeing. And maybe for someone this personality type, you know, to prayerfully and without guilt, acknowledge what was in my mind. And the prayer went like this. You know, brother, I believe what I think and what I see and what I hear. But I am willing not to. I am willing not to be afraid. I am willing not to be alone. I seek only truth now, and I leave it to you to show me. I give you myself and all that I seem to have made, that you may show me the great cosmic joke that I played on myself, and we may laugh in peace together. Truly, my brother, I give everything to you, for I am nothing apart from you. And then the Holy Spirit had a little answer. Then let me take care of you. You know, once I have kind of, it's just like the perfect acknowledgement and responsibility for what I find in my mind, and also expressing a willingness not to, a willingness to be taken to a better place, for lack of better words. Anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate the reading and the reader and you very much this morning.
Thank you, Nancy, for bringing my attention back to that prayer. As you read it, I remembered it, but it was not current in my memory, so it was wonderful to have it brought back to mind. Thank you very much. And Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Regina, and thank you for your teaching this morning. I struggled with whether I was going to pick up the mic or not because of my background in history, you know, as an African-American woman and the unworthiness feelings that I have. Good morning, Ken. And but a couple of things struck me. I kind of a little bit collect Buddha statues, and I like the statues partly because of their some of their meditative look, and then they have the happy Buddha, the laughing Buddha, and I like those too as well. And another thing that I don't collect, but I have some around. And then I also have a little black angels that I like to collect from different countries. People bring me back from different countries. So when you talked about the images of the Buddha and how we worship images, then what came to me was Jesus Christ and the images. And I think I posted on there, you know, I grew up with a fundamentalist, parents, Christian parents, and was in church all the time, but I never could accept those teachings as they were being taught to me. I just resisted it. And so, and I never knew why. I just could never accept it. The images, it dawned on me one of the reasons I couldn't accept the image of Jesus Christ, because he was this white male and with long hair. And so I just got to thinking this morning, the image that we have of Jesus, I mean, if the Bible, some of the books, I don't know anything about the Bible really in any of the history, but I do know that it comes out of the Middle East. And this is one reason why I didn't want to try to bring up any controversy. It's just the clarity or what struck me this morning. And so why I had a resistance to the Christ. Now being associated with Awakening Together and going through the MPP program and not shifting from believing that I'm this body and really kind of getting a real good understanding that of one mind and one consciousness, and that really resonates well with me. So I get that, and that Christ is just a form, but you know, growing up with forms, you believe in forms. Jesus is form that we have here left could be further, you know, of what his form looked like. And that was the resistance for me. But anyway, also going back to the unworthiness that you spoke about, and I just think you and I could write a book on kindergarten happenings. Yes. And I have the one where the teacher, as being the only African-American child in the class and not getting a sucker, and the teacher giving all of the students a sucker, you know, and how that unworthiness developed. I now know that Mrs. Brown, that form, was dealing with her own unworthiness and projected it onto me. I do understand that now, and I've forgiven myself, I guess, ourselves. This is hard when you're not really, really awakened, but you're really kind of learning this stuff. But that I do understand what took place when I was a 4-year-old in Mrs. Brown's class, and she didn't give me a sucker. But I took on that unworthiness feeling. And so, and for what are reasons why I came to this world as an African-American woman, what I needed to learn, what I experienced, you know. And so, but I really do, and you mentioned something about obstacles, you know, and I really do believe that, because if I just I pass all of this out. I just, you know, I do have to have an understanding what's going on inside of me, you know, teaching this morning and listening, and I'm letting go of the mic.
Thank you, Dolores. Yeah, I, as soon as you took the mic, I kind of giggled within myself because I knew that you would probably mention Mrs. Brown since I mentioned my kindergarten experiences. And I had heard the story of Mrs. Brown who didn't give you a sucker. She gave all the other kids suckers. So I knew that there would be a relationship in your mind there between my stories and your story and our deep, deep, deep feeling of unworthiness. And, of course, what's interesting is that, you know, you projected the unwillingness, it sounds like, on the color of your skin because you happen to have, you know, the African-American dark skin and, you know, in America helps you to agree that there's something unworthy in that. I did not have the dark skin, but I still had the unworthiness, so I had to project it onto something else. And for me, it was projected onto I was not as talented or, you know, as beautiful or as wealthy as other people. You know, so it really proves that it's not the dark skin or the quote, lack of talent. It's the belief. And if we have the belief, we'll find something to project it onto. And then society will help us to agree with it because they're all also lost in the present. But it really has nothing to do with any of those things. It's the belief. And that's why Buddha's asking us to practice noticing and letting go of our believing. So I want to thank everyone for joining with me today. It's really always really wonderful to join with you. Typically the fourth Sunday of the month, Jacqueline Eckert is the minister, but she's going to be out of town next weekend. So I'll be back. I'll be back next weekend. Oh, I'm noticing Phil singing, repeating what John Lennon said. I was the dream weaver, but now I'm reborn. The dream is over. And so, dear friends, you'll just have to carry on. Anyway, I will be here again with you next week, and Karen Worth is going to be my reader next week, so I hope to see you all next week as well. I'm going to close with another one of my favorite songs. This song is Pompeii by Bastille, and I'll tell you why I think this song really applies, because remember, what Buddha is asking us to do is to not only be lost, not to be lost in the present and not to be lost in the future, but also not to be lost in now by believing what's happening right now. This is what Buddha's asking us to do. And what's wonderful about this song by Bastille, this is during the volcano eruption in Pompeii, when the entire town is being destroyed. Now think about not believing that perception. Think about being one of those people in Pompeii and choosing to practice wisdom teachings instead of believing the perception of this volcano erupting and destroying my town and people running and screaming. Now listen to some of these lyrics from the song you're about to hear. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. And then he says, but if you close your eyes, does it almost feel nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel you've been here before? And when I hear those lyrics, what that says to me is, instead of believing this perception, no matter how dramatic this current perception is, you know, close my eyes and notice the awareness that is present, that's always been present, that's untouched, that's still the observer, still here, and not even this perception is affecting it. Right? So I love this song. I think it's a great song to help us remember Buddha's teaching of not believing the current perception, the current experience, the current thoughts, and the current emotions. So let's close today by listening to Pompeii by Bastille.
Fall away with nothing to show, and the world. closed your eyes.
Wonderful song. So again, thank you all very much for joining with me today. Maria, I'm happy to see you here. I just want to let you know I did send you an email about NTI, faith, and trust, but I'm not sure I had the correct email address. I think you have too. So if you didn't see that email, please check your other email address. There should be a very long, lengthy email there for you. All right, everyone. I will see you maybe tonight. Seven Steps to Awakening at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course, John Mark Stroud, it's 5 my time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time is Seven Steps to Awakening. That's easy to remember, Seven Steps at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then right after that at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is John Mark Stroud. So hopefully I'll see you all this evening, if not, next Sunday. Usually I turn the mic over to Lynn now. I'm not sure who's taking it, but I am letting go of the mic for whoever is next. Goodbye, everyone.
I think that would be Lynn.
Oh.